Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thanks very much for doing so. You know, when I got the producer's notes for this and said we were going to talk to Larry Olmsted, and the book was called Fans, I said, wait a second, I'd rather talk to him about Real Food, Fake Food, a New York Times bestseller, or Getting Into Guinness, a history of the Guinness Book of World Records, for which he actually did break three records while doing the research. And I thought about Fans because I often wondered, I was in Chicago for the full Michael Jordan years, and he transformed the city. And I said, why is a athlete do that? And now I'm in Cleveland and have been here ever since LeBron signed. I was lucky enough to be the exact year, and also was in Syracuse for the Carmelo Anthony years, and in San Francisco for the Joe Montana years. And I said, boy, I've had a really lucky sports career. We're hurting in Cleveland right now, but hopefully the Browns will come through for us. But in any case, the point is that I often wondered, why is it that an athlete like Michael Jordan or LeBron James can transform a town and totally change, literally, he totally changed the way Chicago thought about itself. And I often thought, well, maybe it's because he was a workaholic, just like LeBron James is, taking great care of his body, and Chicago thought of themselves as a workaholic city. But let's get into it with Larry Olmsted. Before I do, I've got to tell you, this is the B segment, 1036B, so we're in our 21st year of doing this, and the sponsor for these years has been Persona Nutrition. This is, of course, another, what I would consider, fantastic chance for me to get to interview a wonderful guest, Larry Olmsted. And as I said, he has written the bestsellers Real Food, Fake Food, as well as Getting Into Guinness. But this is a magnificent book. I even took it on vacation because I wanted to learn more about it. Normally, I read about half of the book for the week I show, but this one I couldn't put down. Remember, Persona Nutrition is, if you're confused about vitamins or supplements, Persona experts cut through the hype and confusion. Imagine supplements customized just to you and your needs. You take a free nutrition assessment that says, do you need anything or not? All it is, visit mypersona.com. You can take the free online assessment. So, Larry, if I can call you that, I should tell people that the website for this fans book is www.sportsfansbook. Sports, S-P-O-R-T-S, fans, F-A-N-S, book, B-O-O-K, .com. So, why is it that we are so fascinated with sports? Is it just the betting, or is it something else?
No, because I think the fascination certainly predates the widespread betting. I mean, compared to every other form of entertainment, what's really unique about sports is that it's real, it's unscripted, and the outcome is unknown. And I compare it to a lot of other kinds of fandom. Personally, I'm a Star Wars fan, but I didn't have to wait 9 movies and 40 years to realize that the good guys were going to win. And, you know, when you watch a crime show on TV or a James Bond movie, you know the outcome when you go in. But that is never the case with sports. And in fact, you know, we sort of relish the upsets and the uncertainties even more. Everyone loves a Cinderella story. You know, that's also why we watch sports in real time and cling to the edge of our seats, because you never know what's going to happen.
Is it the drama of sports? In other words, what I've been impressed with, and you touch on in the book, is how much it means to a city. And I was impressed when we first got to Chicago, in 1985, same year Michael Jordan signed. It was known as Al Capone's town. And within 4 years, it was Michael Jordan's town, and it was okay to be a workaholic, and it was wonderful to be from Chicago. And LeBron did the same thing in Cleveland, although he broke our heart a couple times, has broken our heart a couple times. But it is, what is it? Why does the town rally around its team? Why does it change the whole spirit of the town?
Well, there's two very different answers to the points you brought up. And first, I just want to touch on, you know, the psychologists have found that as fans, we treasure the good times and the wins and assign that much more value positively than we get negative from the losses and the bad times, which, you know, that expression, time heals all wounds. So they're still happy about Michael Jordan in Chicago, even though he's been retired for many years. And the Cubs' victory in Chicago, you know,
22, can I tell you that? Because we spent the last year, we still had season tickets the year afterwards. And it was like, we knew when Michael Jordan was there, if we were up, if we were only down by 10 points going into the fourth quarter, we would win. The year afterwards, we knew if we were only up by 10 points, we would lose.
Right, and you know, but and the Bulls certainly have not been as good since. But you know, people in Chicago still remember those times. And like as I was saying, the Cubs fans, you know, if there's never another World Series, they're going to remember that one for the rest of their lives. And you all the examples.
You know, you're hurting a Cleveland Indians fan on that one.
All the examples you mentioned of remembering the places you lived, key to the good, you know, sports periods that they enjoyed, that's what people remember, is the good times. But also with the locality and the city civic issue, sports, you know, the only thing that I found in the world that's sort of on a relative basis with sports in terms of, you know, its impact on our lives and widespread adoration is religion. And it's very similar to religion in a lot of ways. And one of those ways is how we choose, which you don't really do. The two primary factors driving your religion are where you were born and what your parents believe. And it's the same two factors with sports. So, you know, if you're born in Chicago, you're probably going to be a Bulls fan, not a Knicks fan, especially if your parents also like the Bulls. And that's true anywhere. So it's always going to have a local slant and a civic pride slant. And part of the reason why we love being sports fans so much is that it makes us part of a community, a very open, easy to access community. And that community is tied to the town we live in. So when things go well, it's natural that it's going to sort of lift the whole civic environment.
Again, the website for this is sportsfansbook.com. Larry Olmsted is an award-winning journalist and has been a visiting professor at Dartmouth, where he teaches nonfiction writing. Now, Larry, I noticed there were studies discussed in the book where sports fans have better cognitive and language skills. Why would that be?
Well, I've come to look at it as, you know, we know that exercising your brain, like exercising your muscles, is important and good for you, especially as you get older. And I kind of view being a sports fan as this, on the same level as doing Sudoku or a crossword puzzle every day. And it's become even a more intellectual, strategic, cerebral pursuit in our lifetimes. And like when, you know, my earliest memories of sports were going to Mets games with my dad. And back then you could fit all the information you needed to know on a line on the back of a Topps baseball card, you know, RBI, is average, home runs. But, you know, we have Moneyball come along and sabermetrics. And now the fans know all these crazy complicated statistics, you know, wins beyond replacement and plate discipline factor. And same in, you know, football and basketball have gotten immensely more complicated in terms of the defenses, the formations. And one thing sports fans love to do is second guess the coaches and call into talk radio and say what they should have done differently. And these days, to be able to sort of discuss it in that manner, you have to really know a lot and pay attention. So when they have studied people watching sports, their brains are firing.
And what about the betting? Is that a negative influence, a positive influence? Has it changed anything? I know betting used to be outlawed, except in Las Vegas, and now it's widespread. It may have been widespread under the counter beforehand, but is that, I don't think it's as widespread as now, and don't the leagues also benefit from the betting?
Yeah, I mean, originally the leagues were reticent to have increased legalized gambling because there's always the concern with gambling in sports that can result in scandals and fixes and throwing games. But overall, my take on it, you know, obviously it's dependent on how you handle gambling. People have gambling problems. People bet money they can't afford to lose. That's not good. But in terms of your regular sports fandom, the effect that gambling seems to be having, which is very similar to the effect that fantasy sports, which is, you know, not usually gambling, it's more of a social thing, it can have a gambling component to it, is that it makes fans more interested in the game and the sport and less interested in their own team, which is kind of an interesting phenomenon because you can't be successful at fantasy sports or gambling just by, you know, betting on your team and wishing for the best. So it sort of vests the interest of the participant in the rest of the teams, the rest of the players, and occasionally rooting for those players, which in turn kind of reduces the long-term negative tribalism we've had among sports fans where they say, you know, I like the Red Sox, so I hate the Yankees and their fans, even though they're people and you don't know them. And in a way, it's producing a kind of kinder, gentler sports fan.
Wow, I would have never thought that. Isn't that interesting? A kinder, gentler sports fan because of the fantasy sports and the mixing up of teams. Now, the second thing is that you often show that after, for example, an Olympics, or after something is in a town where the town wins an event, where the team wins an event, there's an increase in physical activity and participation in those sports. How solid is that, and how long-lasting is it?
Well, so this is kind of the hardest area of the data to unpack, because when they survey sports fans and interview them, sports fans on the whole are more active than non-fans. But the question then is, why is that? And part of it is a self-fulfilling prophecy. You grew up playing sports, you love sports, so you watch sports, and in which case, you know, it's the apple before the cart. So I wanted to see if there was examples of sports transforming otherwise sedentary people into active people, which would be, you know, beneficial to society in the world we live in with obesity and diabetes problems. So the most concrete data on that is the Olympics, which, you know, used to be every 4 years and now is every 2 years. And when it rolls around, gym memberships go up, participation in things like fitness classes go up, and like New Year's resolutions, not all of that sticks. But I think it's because in that case, in the Olympics, you see a lot of sports that you normally don't watch, like swimming, track and field, speed skating, that really showcase fitness and athleticism of the individual rather than team sports coaching strategy. And that in turn inspires people to say, you know, and there's things that are attainable. You watch somebody run and you say, well, I could run, but you don't watch an NFL game and say, I'm going to go put on a helmet and tackle someone. So And it's especially with when they introduce new sports. So, for instance, this year's Olympics is supposed to be in Tokyo. We'll see if it happens. But one of the sports that they're having for the first time is rock climbing as an indoor pursuit. And that's something that very few people have ever seen on TV. It's pretty thrilling, but it's also super accessible. You could go rock climbing in downtown Chicago indoors. So I think when people see that, it's going to lead to a lot more people saying, I want to try that, especially if the gym already has a climbing wall. So that's an effect we see at the Olympics, and we've seen it in other cases as well. And I think it's beneficial. Anything that gets people moving is beneficial.
Take me through, if you will, LeBron. And I don't know if I didn't read the case history in the book on that, so I don't know if you've done that. But LeBron James came to Cleveland. He lifted him up. He left for Miami. He lifted Miami up. He came back to Cleveland, won a championship, but then he left. How does the town handle that, and how has it handled that?
Well, you know, Cleveland is a little unique in that I think, you know, the rise of LeBron also coincided with a rise in the city that, you know, had a few other things having to do, you know, the opening and popularity of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, kind of a downtown revival. I've had the pleasure to spend some time in Cleveland, and, you know, it's a city that people who left always kind of wanted to come back to, is my impression, and you know, they had a reason to do that. So, you know, obviously they then, you know, wish LeBron had stayed, but, you know, I think they got the value of him having been there. It helped a growing trend towards a revitalization that, you know, I think can continue with or without him. But I do think, you know, what's interesting about LeBron James as an athlete right now is he's sort of the leading example of harnessing the newfound platform of social media for, you know, political activism purposes. And, you know, I recently read an op-ed saying that LeBron James is going to, you know, be remembered long after he stops playing and involved in our everyday conversation. And that's not something that happens with a lot of athletes.
No, that's very true. We actually have a dream in Cleveland that he and his son both come back and play for our basketball team. We'll even let him play for our baseball team, not football. But in any case, we'd let him play for anything. And that's one of the interesting things with Michael Jordan. He took really 2 years off to try baseball. What's the story? What happened with the fans? Not in Cleveland, not in Chicago, but we never read about the fans in the baseball cities. Did he draw fans? Did he draw hecklers? Was there pride? He was with a team that started. It was in the South someplace in AA, I think.
I think it was Birmingham.
Yes, it was Birmingham Alabama. Bisons, I think it was, or something like that.
Yeah, and they actually, you know, in that excellent documentary, The Last Dance, they said they sort of started him at maybe a higher level than they would have simply because they needed him to be at a facility that could handle the amount of press he drew. And, but, you know, he was pretty successful in his, you know, he certainly drew more spectators locally to the game. You know, Birmingham's there's not a lot of other sports competing right there. But, you know, I was interested because he never really finished the experiment. Baseball had the strike season. That's what led him to leave and come back to the NBA in part. But the owner, you know, of both the Bulls and the White Sox maintains that he's sure that he would have made it to the majors if he had stuck with it, which is, you know, pretty impressive.
Reinsdorf is ever the promoter. And you probably know that he announced his retirement from basketball and going to baseball at a playoff game in Chicago. And the stadium was literally stunned at that. In any case, it's a fantastic book. Larry Olmsted has done it again. He did it with Real Food, Fake Food. I didn't read Getting Into Guinness, the Guinness Book of World Records, but I did read Real Food, Fake Food, a sensational book. Lori Olmsted is an award-winning journalist. You can get this book on sportsfansbook.com. Lori Olmsted is a fascinating writer. Lori, I should ask you, what are you doing now? What's the next project?
You know, I honestly don't know in terms of books. I mean, I'm still keeping up my newspaper and magazine work, but, you know, I have a couple of ideas. I'm kind of waiting to see how this book does, to see whether, you know, I should return to sports again. There's a lot of material from my research that didn't make it into this book. You know, I'm kind of evaluating my options. Normally, I like to do different things and sort of switch gears, but sports is so rich with so many different angles. As long as I feel that there's, you know, an interesting, you know, the thing about fans is they haven't been explored the way players have. So if I can find, you know, other elements that are new and interesting, I'll go down that path.
Well, we've certainly had an interesting fan season, if you will, with staying away. As someone who has, you probably can tell I'm a crazy fan. I have season tickets to three different teams, which you can do in Cleveland pretty easily. The Indians, the Cavs, and the Browns. It's always interesting until this year at the Browns games how disappointed fans were, and how football dominates the town magically. No matter how good the Cavs were or the Indians are. Football could always outdraw them or out. For a team that only plays 16 games a year, there's much more conversation in the newspapers and every place else, and probably income level of football compared to the others. I should say, just one more thing about Cleveland, and you know, when they won the championship, 1.6 million people showed up on the parade day. It was just unbelievable. So there are, and I imagine that occurs in every small city that wins a championship, that the literally the whole city shows up. We've been talking with Lori Olmsted, who is the fans' fan, I would guess. He has written a book called Fans, How Watching Sports Makes Us Happier, Healthier, and More Understanding. You can get the book at sportsfansbook.com or Amazon or Barnes & Noble or hopefully your local independent bookstore as well. This has been 1036B of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. We, as usual, are brought to you by Persona Nutrition. You can get daily vitamin packs personalized for you. Can you imagine that? Just personalized right for you. Our sponsor is Persona Nutrition. I take my personalized supplements. You can too. Take the free online assessment at mypersona.com. See what you're missing. Get a recommendation. Or not, you may have the recommendation, you're eating a great diet, don't get anything. MyPersona.com. Thanks very much, Lori, and thanks, Brad, for engineering. But especially thank the 50,000 or so of you who download this podcast. Thanks very much. You're what motivates us to keep doing it. We'll be back next week.